Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
White privilege is just an acknowledgement that our world is uneven. We live in a country that's unequal.
All human beings share solidarity. All of us are made in God's image equally and therefore worthy of dignity. We're all ruined and rebellious against God and therefore calls us solidarity in sin. And we all need the same Savior.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Why Charlie Kirk? This is Wretched Radio. Why did our good God allow such evil to be perpetrated? I hope you didn't see the video. I only saw the long shot. That was enough. It was so JFK-esque. It was sick to your stomach, disturbing. He was assassinated, murdered, gruesomely, right before our very eyes. Now, this is a young man, a husband and father of two children. So he leaves behind a grieving widow, two orphans, and a massive movement that was impacting countless kids on campuses. And while none of us can read the mind of God, I think that there are some categories that need to be considered as we ponder, why did God ordain an event that robbed a young man of his life? Why did God ordain so much heartache for those who were nearest and dearest to him? Why did God ordain that a powerful voice for conservative politics would be silenced? For the first question, I think we need to break it down one at a time. The only person who could answer why did God ordain this for Charlie Kirk is Charlie himself. In other words, when we go through a tragedy, when something difficult happens, we can know that God is working all things for our good. Job's counselors can't tell you what that is. Other people can't tell you what that is. You need to sort it. So I don't think it's necessarily sinful, perhaps, to speculate with a sanctified and limited imagination why God ordained this for Charlie. But any musings over the purpose behind Charlie's life, probably not ours to consider. And I think that's true for the second category, those nearest and dearest to him. Who of us knows the mind of God? Now, he reveals lots of it in the Bible. But his constant operation of the universe, who of us can know? Now, having said that, we know that he is indeed working all things for our good and his glory. But for us to speculate from afar, I think is to engage in speculation that doesn't belong to us. We should leave that sorting out to the people who loved him most, because God is doing something with this, what appears to be and what is being labeled a senseless tragedy. Now, I get a part of that. It's senseless because it's like 31 years old, a wife and kids. I mean, but it's not senseless to God. God knew about this before the foundation of the world. God is ordaining all things. There is not a molecule in the universe over which God does not declare mine. And so we will rest in knowing that God was not taken by surprise. God was not shocked. He didn't get a Fox News alert. God ordained it for Charlie's good and for those who loved him, his nearest and dearest. But finally, we're probably even more inclined to speculate about the end of the impact that Charlie was having on campuses. That's what I seem to be catching on Fox News, and I even watched a little CNN. That wasn't easy. And they're just talking about what a political force he was and now what's going to happen and what was he doing. So I suspect that a lot of us will be talking about that aspect of it. What was God doing in taking the life of a man who was leading? This thing was a juggernaut. Did you see the number of kids on the campus when he was shot? He was doing big things out there. And we're inclined to ask, what good was God weaving from this wicked act in regard to the impact he was having on American culture? And to us, it doesn't seem to make sense. And it feels like a great loss because, frankly, it is. But we want to know. We have something inside of us that says, Lord, what were you doing? Why do you ordain evil? I think there are four rules that I think we can use to guide us through those conversations and actually apply to our own hearts, because it's just a matter of time before there's a tragedy in our lives. And we do well to understand God's sovereignty, his goodness, that providence is never a coincidence, that he is ordaining all things. And I recognize that these ideas, they aren't holistic. This isn't going to cover every aspect of a tragedy like the Charlie Kirk assassination. So please understand, I get that. I'm not trying to leave something out to not say something or to try to say something without saying something. I just think that these are helpful. And at this time, I don't know how close you were or weren't to Charlie, we can use this as an opportunity to sort through our theology, because here's the truth of the matter. You're going to need it. First, God isn't doing one thing with anything. We tend, it's like, okay, God, what's the big thing you're doing here? He ordains every single ripple and shockwave, big or small, not just from Charlie's event, but from every single event, everything that's happening on the planet. He's ordaining and orchestrating all of it, good or evil. In other words, we shouldn't look for one big result of a tragedy, because God's running of the universe is so much more intricate and detailed. You heard about the Charlie Kirk shooting. God knew that. It's having an impact on you that God has ordained. You and millions of other people. Yikes. Let's not just be thinking, okay, we got to find the one thing he's doing. No. He's doing bazillions of things. He is doing everything for our good and for his glory. Charlie, seriously, God did not have an angel come and give him a memo. Charlie was assassinated. He didn't recoil like the rest of us. God ordained that horrible event because he's running a universe. God ordained this event for the way it will impact not just his wife, not just his kids, not just the organization, not future politics, but every single person who learns about it. God is meticulous. He's not doing just one big thing. Second principle rule, I think that might be helpful. God will often allow us to see the good that he's working out in a tragedy, but we've got to be really, really guarded against needing to see something good in order to feel better about a loss or somehow vindicate God. Now, don't get me wrong. It's comforting to discover that the Lord directly used evil to accomplish good, but we don't need to see that good in order to know that God is good. In other words, we don't need to see a positive result from a negative event to feel better about the event or about God himself. We look for this big thing so that we don't feel the need to impugn God's character and his integrity, accuse God of committing a senseless crime. We don't need to see one big, great result in order to say, okay, God is good. Because when is God good? Last time I checked, all the time. All the time God is good. God is always doing good, even when it is evil, because he is orchestrating all things for a grander schema, for a bigger purpose. Let me give you a rather extraordinary example. Imagine a child falls onto the train tracks and it causes the train to derail because it runs over the child. I mean, yeah, talk about atrocious. And 14 passengers in the train were injured. They weren't killed. They were injured. The little boy's life lost. But the news then reports, whoa, we just discovered a terrorist planted an explosive device down the rails that would have killed all 200 people on board if the train hadn't been derailed. And while we can recognize God's goodness in saving those people, we've got to be careful not to think that God is now justified in ordaining that tragedy because something really good came from it. Otherwise, we might be inclined to be disappointed with God for doing something that doesn't appear to have any purpose except heartache. Nothing that happens is senseless, even when we can't see it. We don't need to find a good outcome from a bad event because we can know what God ordains is always good. And that brings us to the third rule, which we will share next on Wretched Radio.
Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. No subscription, no credit card. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. You know what's crazy? You've got more computing power in your pocket right now than NASA used to send people to the moon. But most of us, well, we're using it to watch cat videos or argue with strangers online. But what if I told you there's a better way? The Fortis Plus app. I'm talking hundreds of hours of biblical content that'll actually make you smarter and more equipped for the battles you're facing every day. Look, you're going to scroll through something today anyway. Why not make it something that actually strengthens your faith? Download the Fortis Plus app right now, wherever it is you download your apps from. Fortis Plus at FortisPlus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thanked them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Well, join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Gregory of Nazianzus was the bishop of Constantinople in the 4th century. He wrote important works on the Trinity and the person of Christ. Gregory described the relationship between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and taught that Jesus is fully God and fully man. his arguments are still in use today.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What God ordains is always good. This is Wretched Radio. Charlie Kirk murdered. Tell me that wasn't a mule kick to the guts. Awful. And then you see the pictures of Charlie with his wife and kids, and you go, And while we've got to be careful to be thoughtful and sensitive and not utilize a tragedy for any sort of certainly nefarious end or self-promoting end, I think we as Christians would do well to sort what happened on the campus in Utah so that we can first explain to God's accusers where he was. That's an accusation. Where was God in all of this? Well, I'll tell you where he is. Everywhere, ordaining all things. But second, I think we can get our theology in place because it is inevitable that you and I are going to experience hard things, health scares. I can't tell you the number of people that I know right now who are being shocked. It's like, wait, what? I've got a what? Where? My body is doing what? They weren't planning on it, in perfectly good shape. All of a sudden, a health scare hits, and it's inevitable for all of us. Last time I checked, we're all going to die. And so I think by taking a theological dive into God's sovereign running of the universe will ultimately help you and me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death better. If you recall, shared a couple of rules that I think are helpful in responding rightly and in a way that is pleasing to God when tragedy strikes, whether it's Charlie Kirk or in our own homes. We need to remember that God isn't doing one thing. Ah, we discovered this happened from the Charlie Kirk assassination. Therefore, okay, God, I get it. Mm-mm-mm. He's doing bazillions of things. And second of all, we don't need to look for that big thing in order to vindicate God. But I think that there is a third rule that will help you as you wrestle through the tragedies in your own life. Here it is, and for some of you, this might ring a bell. Third rule, what God ordains is always good. What God ordains is always good. If you can get that line stuck in your head, it will help you when tragedy hits home, because it's going to. And I'd like to share, don't panic, I'm not going to sing, but this is one of my favorite hymns. You might want to Google it. What God ordains is always good. Some are what God ordains is always right, regardless. Memorize one, two, or all six of these verses, because it is a reminder. Hey, I don't need to question God in this. I don't need to wonder why he would do something so horrible, because I don't need to look for a profitable result. I can know that what he did and the results are good, not because of the effect of the evil action, but because of the character of God. That's where we rest, right there. That's where we rest. Not, okay, well, this happened. Hey, it kept a 40-car pileup from happening on the freeway. Okay, so God, I guess it's okay that somebody was shot. No, no, no. God, what he does is always good. So let's make our way through this hymn and let it train us to be disciplined, to not have to question God, certainly not to question his character, but to rest in knowing what God ordains is always good. Here we go. What God ordains is always good. His will is just and holy. As he directs my life for me, I follow meek and lowly. My God, indeed, in every need, knows well how he will shield me. To him, then, I will yield me. Verse 2, what God ordains is always good. He will never deceive me. He leads me in his righteous way, and never will he leave me. I take content what he has sent. I take content what he has sent. His hand that sends me sadness will turn my tears to gladness. Verse 3, what God ordains is always good. His loving thought attends me. No poison can be in the cup that my physician sends me. My God is true, each morning new. I trust his grace unending, my life to him commending. Verse 4, what God ordains is always good. He is my friend and father. He suffers not to do me harm, though many storms may gather. Now I may know both joy and woe. Someday I shall see clearly that he has loved me dearly. Verse 5, what God ordains is always good. Though I the cup am drinking, which savors now of bitterness, I take it without shrinking. For after grief, God gives relief, my heart with comfort filling and all my sorrow stilling. Last verse. What God ordains is always good. This truth remains unshaken. The sorrow, need, or death be mine, I shall not be forsaken. I fear no harm, for with his arm he shall embrace and shield me. So to my God, I yield me. Memorize that line. It will serve you well as you receive horrible news and in your flesh might be inclined to question God. You don't need to see the good that comes from it. I can guarantee you he's doing a bazillion good things. I guarantee it. But if you don't see a single one of them, you still rest in knowing what God ordains is always good, because God is good all the time. This brings us now to rule number 4. You and I must develop a robust theodicy. You say, what's a theodicy? Well, it's a fancy way of saying a vindication of God. Now, he never needs to be vindicated. You and I don't need to defend God. Everything he does is right, and he doesn't need to explain himself. Nevertheless, it's a term that has been coined to help us harmonize. What do we do with God ordaining evil and God being good and loving and all-powerful? You know, you hear the accusations from the atheists. Hey, wait a second. If God is good and he's loving and there's evil, well, therefore, he can't be good and he can't be loving. Oh, yes, he can. Why? Because while God ordains evil, he never causes evil. Don't know if you recall our very lengthy presentation on this. You can go find it at fortisplus.org. And just look for evil and you'll see. I think we've done several TV episodes on this. One was with Erwin Lutzer. Another one, two shows that we did on Dr. Peter Salmon's book, Reprobation and the Sovereignty of God, to explain causation, levels of causation. Think of it like this. God is the ultimate causer. In other words, he ordains all things. But that doesn't mean he pulled the trigger. What it means is he uses proximate causes. So think ultimate cause on top, then proximate cause, like what? Like worldviews, like false religions, like the devil, like evil people. He doesn't restrain them. So those are proximate causes that then impact, third level, the efficient causer. In other words, whoever the guy was who assassinated Charlie Kirk, he's the one responsible for evil, and God's hands are clean. Why? Because he used proximate causes. Even though he's the ultimate cause, he's not guilty of committing the crime. That is how we explain the coexistence. Can I use that term? Or does the bumper sticker have that trademark? The coexistence of evil and God being good. May I ask you, do you have that sorted in your mind? Do you have that settled? If not, this is something good that can come out of the Charlie Kirk tragedy, which still I have to confess, it was like really, really still is disturbing. Just 31 kids, wife, and just wickedness. If you and I can take the time now to understand God's sovereignty, his goodness, a correct theodicy, then on that horrible day when you and I need to apply that theology, it will be much easier to do so. And so for that gift, thanks, Charlie. And thanks for everything that you've done. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.